iPhone's got an update I have to do. I'm always nervous about doing updates.
Yep, mine too. I let it do it in the middle of the night so that if it crashes, it does it while I'm sleeping.
So you don't panic?
Yep. And sometimes it crashes and just puts itself back together and it doesn't matter, so...
I don't know. I generally put them off. The last time I put it off, my phone eventually just stopped working. And I couldn't figure out why until I...
Realized you were 12 updates behind?
No, I was just one update behind.
Oh, wow.
And just everything just stopped. I couldn't... Suddenly one day, couldn't send texts, couldn't send iMessage, couldn't send or make or receive phone calls. Couldn't even get into my Gmail.
Wow. They get more aggressive with the marketing of, you should download this update.
Yeah.
You know, like it starts out like, hey, there's an update. Do you want to download it? And you're like, nah, remind me later. And it's cool. But then it's like, you click remind me later and it's like, yeah. How about we just install it tonight while you're sleeping?
Yeah.
And you're like, no. And then the remind me later, I swear, it gets smaller.
Where's the button? Yeah.
So, yeah.
So hi, builders. We're going to, we're trying something new here. We thought we would try doing... well, this was Jason's idea. I'll let him explain it.
Yeah, so we thought, you know, you guys seem to like when we just chit-chat about stuff, not always related to games, and we've been enjoying doing more bonus episodes. We finally have a really good solution for us to do bonus episodes during the day on lunch, which means we can do it without having to do a bunch of recording setup. And so because of that, we thought about just doing some episodes every once in a while. I don't know how consistent they'll be. They may be very consistent. They may be inconsistent.
Yeah,
us. But so a new series of bonus episodes we're calling the B-Sides, which is basically just Rob and Jason not talking about games. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, for starters, I want to talk about games.
Okay.
Just we were talking earlier about we both placed orders at Game Crafter.
Uh-huh.
And you were frustrated because your expected ship date kept getting pushed back.
Yeah.
And mine
yours keeps getting pushed forward.
Mine was pulled forward, right. So when I placed my order 6 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 5 days ago. And actually, it was probably a week ago. And my estimated ship date was August 8th, which is a week before Gen Con, which is a little tight. But generally, Game Crafter does better for me than their estimates. And in fact, today I checked it, and they pulled that estimated ship date back to August 7th. And when I looked at it this morning, I was number 227 in the queue. When did you place your order?
On July 22nd at 9:29 p.m. Oh, it was 8:09 p.m. In 29 seconds. Thanks for that, Game Crafter. It's in production. I'm positioning queue number 48 with an estimated ship date of August 7th. Here's why I'm annoyed. My original estimated ship date, July 31st.
Yesterday, as of this recording, yeah.
Yeah, so in that, at the time, seemed reasonable, and that was 7 days away at that point. So I thought, okay, yeah. No, that was 9 days away at that point. So I thought, oh, that seems fair. Sure. Mm-hmm. And then to have... You know, when I started, I was 460-something, I think, in production. And started this morning, it was at 53, now it's 48. But the fact that it keeps getting pushed back, that's frustrating.
That sucks, and I've never seen that happen before. For me, it's only ever been on time or early for their shipping. I've never seen one get pushed back. But that said, you're doing custom laser cuts.
Yeah.
So that we don't know how to judge effort on that. Also... If we both now have an estimated ship date of the 7th, and you are 48 in the queue, and I am 227 in the queue, I'm guessing you're gonna ship before the 7th.
My only thought is, what if laser cuts are on a different queue than standard?
That is possible. I don't know.
You can certainly use different machinery, but I don't know what their production process looks like. But anyways, I don't use the Game Crafter very often. This is the first time in quite a while that I've used them. Not because I don't like them.
Yeah.
Just because it's a pain for me to order stuff through the Game Crafter, so I avoid it. But, I mean, customer service 101 is under-promise, over-deliver, not over-promise, under-deliver. And so that's what bothers me. If they had said August 7th to begin with, I'd have been like, oh, crap. That's my fault.
Yeah.
But when they said July 31st and I made plans based on that, you know, and I get it's an estimated ship date. I get it. But off by 8 days, and that's right now. It could get worse. I don't know. Yours could get worse. because I want to say mine went from July 31st to August 1st to July 31st to August 1st to July 31st to August 7th. So, you know what I mean? It's just, it's odd.
Yeah.
The way that it's calculating. I do notice the word estimated here is in blue. You can click it. It's a link.
Oh.
Oh. Now, Tavis is going to explain it to me.
In a video?
In a video. I'm not going to watch this video, Tavis. Sorry. He's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
But that's cool. They have a video. In this video, Tavis explains everything you need to know about the estimated ship date that's provided when you place your orders at the Game Crafter.
Okay.
I see feedback here. Mine came within, said next week, and it came within 3 days. Yeah. And I get it, we're butting up against Gen Con here.
Yeah.
You know, and Game Crafter does amazing stuff, and I'm not dogging them, but it's all about setting expectations, right?
Sure.
You know, and it's important to set good expectations. Like, for instance, to talk about something other than games, I mean, like, even though some people don't understand this, like, the DC universe has set an expectation that the movies will suck, right? And then sometimes they make Wonder Woman, and everybody loves it.
Well, one time.
Well, just one time. Yeah, you know. And everybody thinks it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thinks it's even greater because we just expected it probably would suck, like everything else they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when I say the DC universe, I specifically mean the current universe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, Wonder Woman's good. It's not great, but it's good.
I think part of the there's two reasons why I haven't seen it yet. This is me speaking out of turn, but two reasons why everybody thinks it's so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
A, everything else sucks, right? And B, it's the first like woman-led superhero franchise, and it's better than the guy stuff they're making.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So
not only is it better than the other garbage, it's good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they've got, from what I've read, very interesting characters. You know, yeah.
Well, their villain is terrible. The villain is super lame and weak.
And that's standard, right?
The final battle against the villain is just dumb. Just really stupid, and it just turns into a big CG fest, and it's super disappointing.
Right. Like, superhero movies in general have that issue, though, right?
They sure do, right. Yeah, yeah.
One of my least favorites that made me the most annoyed was the Incredible Hulk, was it? It was the first one. The first one with Eric Bana.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hated that one. Was that just the Hulk, or was that...
That was just called Hulk.
Hulk.
Yeah.
The Incredible Hulk was the one with Edward Norton that's technically in the MCU universe, right?
Okay. Right.
So,
I mean, when he was fighting the cloud monster as just flashes of light in the sky?
Yeah.
That was super lame.
Yeah, yeah. That was the... Well, it was his dad was the cloud monster, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, his dad, yeah.
It was so dumb.
Yeah, Nick Nolte. I think it was Nick Nolte.
Yeah, it was Nick Nolte.
Right.
Yeah. He could have just been fighting Nick Nolte. I mean, Nick Nolte's crazy, right?
Yeah, and when the Hulk was actually fighting a monster, it was a CG fest in the dark, and so you couldn't actually see what was going on.
It was like, guys, we ran out of money.
Yeah,
let's just turn those lights down a little bit.
Yeah,
make it a little.
Let's see, because the CG is cheaper if it's
right.
poorly lit, because it doesn't have to be as good. Yeah, I actually like that version of Hulk. It's not a good Incredible Hulk movie, but I enjoyed it because. I mean, I enjoyed it for other reasons, because it was just kind of goofy and fun, and they really went for it with the comic book styling in it.
Yeah.
And I thought Eric Bana was a fine...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think it was his fault. You know, I mean, just the CGI fest at the end is what made it the worst.
Even Nick Nolte I thought was good, and there's that scene after he kind of becomes the Absorbing Man, where he's kind of suddenly realizing that he can absorb things. It's actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway...
The other thing that, I think about the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
They do the standard thing that also drives me crazy, which is villain must be the same as hero.
Yes.
But in a bad way, right?
Right.
A movie that got away with that, I think, in a really good way, was the first Captain America, right? Like, Johann Strauss, or whatever his name was. No, Johann Strauss is a real guy. What was his name? Johann von...
Dinglehammer. Red Skull.
It was Johan something, but Red Skull. That worked, right? Like, he was like, I'm going to replicate that, but then it made him different. Like, the Abomination is the Hulk with a different color and some different facial stuff. I mean, like, they're relatively the same person, right?
Yeah, sure. Well, I don't need to get into that.
You get what I mean, though, right? Not like, you know, you make the Hulk movie and then you have Red Hulk fight him, like, right? Like, it's like, oh, great. So it's the Hulk versus the Hulk. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be a slugfest. No one can actually hurt each other. Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, that's lame to me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think in my mind, in the MCU movies that I actually enjoyed, the worst final showdown is Iron Man 2.
Yeah,
that 10-second fight they have with Whiplash, like, you're waiting for it, and then it's just like, done.
Yeah. Yeah, Iron Man 2 is the weakest.
Yeah.
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 And I don't think Iron Man 2 is a bad movie.
No.
It just wasn't... It had weak. Big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And Iron Man 3 figured out what those shoes were and then filled them.
Right. Yeah. You probably still haven't seen Doctor Strange yet, then, have you?
Oh, I've seen the first 10 minutes of it. Okay. I gotta be honest. This whole Bending City crap, I don't care about that. Like, it's just... It's just kind of dumb.
It is, yeah. Like, if that had come out before Inception, that would have blown people's minds.
Right.
But Inception did it first.
So now...
I think Doctor Strange did it to a much greater extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually... It ends up kind of just looking a lot like that... Was it the third Harry Potter movie where they get off the night bus and the building expands or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it ends up just kind of looking like that.
Yeah,
that's more fair. And more of that. So actually, I guess Harry Potter probably did it before Inception did.
Yeah, I mean, Inception just took it to the extreme. They took the folding, right? The folding of the right. geometry changes like
and
that.
And then Doctor Strange takes it another step even further, right. of course. But it's neat, but it's not as surprising and captivating as it was in Inception.
Right.
Yeah.
I think my favorite thing of the first 10 minutes that I saw was Mads Mikkelsen... Whoever he is, Baron von Johann Strauss. I don't know what his name is. But he makes the portal.
Uh-huh.
And they actually ganked that effect from Doctor Strange. And that's the effect Ghost Rider uses on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. When he, like, makes a thing to, like, the Nether Realm.
Oh, yeah?
They use the exact same effect, but he does it with his whip.
Huh.
So that was kind of cool, like, with his chain. So it was just kind of neat to see that continuity between the two. Since that's about all they have, the continuity between the two.
Yeah, it's not even really in the same universe.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but it isn't.
It's basically not.
The reason I say it is because they're constantly doing things that align with what's happening.
They're constantly talking about the movies, even the movies don't give a crap about.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like they're in the same universe, but only one of them realizes it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And, you know, because I struggle with that, right? Because I'm a big fan of the show, and the show has gotten a lot better. Like, the show struggled for a while. And then they just finally were like, you know what, screw it. We're going to go full comic book with this show and be crazy. We're going to go to other planets. We're going to do all... And
what?
Yeah, oh, there's like a portal that takes them to another planet across the universe. No, it was some of the best stuff they did.
Stupid.
It was some of the best stuff they did.
Okay. I watched the first season and it was terrible. And
It took two seasons or so to really kind of get better. And they moved to 10 o'clock last year so they can make it a little more edgier with the Ghost Rider and stuff. And it just let them get away a little more, and it got markedly better.
Okay.
Now they basically do every 6 episodes or so of the show is a new show. It's kind of the Walking Dead model. They say there are 16 episodes in a season.
Uh-huh.
Every 8 episodes, it's a new show, right? So that's like what we're exploring is new. And so they're doing that with events. So it's never just anymore like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, it'll say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then something, there'll be like a little symbol or something, like they did LMDs, the light bottle decoys.
I don't know what that is.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You've never read a comic book before? LMDs, light bottle decoys, it's a big thing in the comics, like they're everywhere. Like,
I know.
Okay, well, anyways. It's basically like a robot version of Rob, except for you're not important enough to make an LMD, right? Because you're not a superhero.
Is this connected to Dr. Doom? Because Dr. Doom always makes clones of himself, or robot versions of himself.
Those were probably LMDs then, yeah.
Okay.
But it's a big thing that S.H.I.E.L.D. does.
I think they're Doombots. He calls them Doombots or something.
That makes sense. It's branding, right?
Yeah.
Really. But anyways, so like they did LMDs. They did one that was, I don't remember what it was called, but I guess it was Ghost Rider. But that was very Doctor Strange. Like, Ghost Rider's power is tied to the same type of stuff Doctor Strange is, right? And they have this book called The Darkhold, which casts all these crazy spells. So they're bringing that in.
Mm.
In fact, they did a really interesting job in the crossover of those two of connecting the AI LMD thing with that. And it was kind of cool how they crisscrossed that. I was impressed.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. No, I'm not expecting you to watch it, but so that's their kind of their shtick now, right? Uh-huh. Is they do event based on what's happening in the movie. Now, okay. Right. So, and the only crossover they've had though at this point, like physical, like on the show for both, has been Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
And
one of the Thor people was on it, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Jamie Alexander, Sif is her name. Sif. Okay. She's one of the Warriors Three.
Yeah,
and she was great. She was on for a couple episodes, and she was like, I kind of was hoping they'd just like keep her, like, mm-hmm. and have like an Asgardian on their team because she was cool.
There was some, wasn't there some S.H.I.E.L.D. dude who was in, like, Iron Man 3 or something? Or maybe it was in the second Avengers movie or one of the Captain America, something like that.
Agent Sitwell.
Sitwell, yeah, he was in one of those.
That was one of the best times. It was right before,
Was it Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He, at the end of the episode, he says, I gotta go get on a boat. And the next time you see him, he's being rescued by Captain America.
Yeah.
On the boat.
Okay.
And then, spoiler alert, things go south for him. He's not back on the show again.
Right.
So, you know, Hail Hydra and stuff.
He's in Hydra. Yeah.
You should know that by now if you're watching these things. But anyways, the other one they've had was Maria Hill.
Oh, right.
Yeah. She was on. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So. Okay. But anyways, so I respect that they're kind of trying to do those tie-ins that way, mm-hmm. so they can basically own their own show, mm-hmm. but explore the same themes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. Have you seen the preview for the new Inhuman show?
It looks stupid.
Like, that's being kind. It looks like hot garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a Saturday morning kids show. Kind of nonsense.
And they're not giving them a lot to work. Like, so Black Bolt, whose real name...
I don't know any of these characters.
Whose real name is Blackagar Boltigan. I crap you not, dude. Blackagar Boltigan.
Oh, comic books.
Yeah, right? So he can't talk. Like, if he talks, uh-huh. he has, like, a sonic voice.
Oh.
And just, if he were to, like, yell, he would destroy the world.
Huh.
Right? That's what... So this is... I did some research to understand this.
Mm.
So he doesn't talk in the show. In fact, he gets in a fight with someone, and a police officer hits him on the back with a nightstick, and he goes, and like it blows a car up, like with sonic, you know. But what it's turned into is he just looks constipated, like his face looks constipated,
like constantly
all the time.
Yeah, okay.
And then Medusa, his wife, has hair that attacks you, but it just looks like the worst wig ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they had no CG budget for the wig, but they did it anyways. I think they spent all the CG budget on the dog. Because have you seen the dog?
I haven't seen the dog.
He's like a 4 foot tall bulldog who can like teleport.
Oh.
And yeah, right?
Comic books are so stupid.
They are, right? Here's the thing. He looks fantastic. Like, they clearly spent the whole budget on that.
Yeah.
And
he'll barely be in the show because of how expensive
he is, right? But Black Bolt's brother, I don't remember, I think his name is Maximus. Doesn't matter. Here's what matters. He's played by Ramsay Bolton.
So,
I just want to stab that guy in the throat.
Everyone
every time
hates
I see
him already.
Yeah, and guess what? He's a dick who's trying to steal the thing from his brother.
Yeah.
So, great, great, great. Yeah,
that guy will play villains for the rest of his career.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he just has a villain face,
right? Oh, yeah,
right?
He does, sure.
He doesn't look like a leading man. He's kind of impish and small and like...
Yeah, but he's good at being nasty.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
So,
there's nothing wrong with that. Lots of actors have made their career off playing villains.
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to make his career off playing annoying, like a specific type of villain. That's the thing, right? Yeah,
right. I skipped the newest Defenders trailer because at this point I'm like, I know I'm gonna watch the Defenders,
right.
So I don't need to watch any more of it.
I'm super excited.
Right. I mean,
when does it come out?
It's later this month.
Cool.
It's like mid-August, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
That is one that I will burn through. It's only 6 episodes.
Oh, is it that short?
Eight.
I would expect it to be 8-ish.
I think it's 8.
Okay. Because that's typically how they've been doing those shows.
Well, they've been doing like 10 to 13 sometimes.
Not for the Marvel shows.
Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah, I think Iron Fist was 12, Luke Cage was 10 or 12.
Is that me? I guess
Jessica
you're right.
Jones might have even been like 13.
I guess you're right, yeah.
So, but this one they did shorter, and I guess the whole story takes place over a week or two.
Oh, yeah?
Like, an event happens, they mm-hmm. come together, and...
ninjas.
Yeah. Well, guaranteed.
Yeah. Ninjas.
Sigourney Weaver and ninjas, though.
Right.
So,
yeah. So that's the thing that makes me not have much interest in Defenders. Like, I'm going to watch it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, but
man, I'm sick of ninjas.
Yes.
After After Daredevil season 2 and Iron Fist, and in both cases, just freaking. Have we talked about while recording that Tick comic, the original Tick comic?
Night of a Million Billion Ninjas.
Yeah, yeah. And ever since I read that, I was like, yeah, ninjas are dumb.
Yeah.
Ninjas are freaking dumb.
Listen, if you're a builder and a ninja, we respect you. But if you're a ninja, if you are a ninja from a superhero universe and you're listening to this, screw you. You're dumb.
If you are writing a story of some kind about an army of ninjas, stop.
Stop. Replace the word ninja with anything else.
Anything else. It's been done before. Maybe not zombies either.
Yeah, not zombies.
Honestly,
zombies way more interesting than ninjas. Because ninjas are basically zombies, right? Like, they don't ever talk.
Well,
they
see, just... that's the thing about the ninjas in this thing is that they can also revive them from being dead, right?
Right.
So they're all actually... That's why they can have a million ninjas, and they can all get killed, and then they can all get brought back to life and be another million ninjas.
Right.
And, well, it's just stupid.
And that was the whole Daredevil thing, right? Like, ninjas that are dead, undead ninjas, I guess? I think, and this is why I want to rush through watching it, I think something's up with Sigourney Weaver. I don't think she's going to be corporate villain. I think something's up. I think they're going to surprise us. She's going to be someone that we know from the Marvel Universe. That's my guess.
Yeah, there's probably a good chance of that.
And that it won't just be the ninjas. You know what I mean? The ninja thing will bring them together, and then I think it will be something else. I really believe that. I have to believe that, because otherwise I don't really want to watch it.
But they've done so much where they devoted this whole second season of Daredevil and all of Iron Fist to building up the Hand.
It's true.
And so if the Hand is this big, scary thing that everybody, they're going to have to team up to defeat the Hand, and if it turns out that the Hand was something else all along, isn't that kind of a bait and switch? That's a kind of nonsense, though, that screenwriters do all the time. So I shouldn't be.
You don't complain, though, man. If they bait and switch and it's not about ninjas, can't you be excited about that? Because I'm
worried about it being even more stupid. Or feeling like, oh, man, wasting my time with all these ninjas was just a waste of time.
But just remember that of the Marvel shows, only one of them has been bad, right? Daredevil Season 2 wasn't great. It was still way better than Iron Fist.
Yeah.
You know what's better than Iron Fist? Everything.
Well, that's not true. Everything, all the rest of the Netflix Marvel stuff has been better. Yeah. It was better.
I bet you that if you watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you would enjoy that more than Iron Fist.
I would say that first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I watched, that was a little bit better than Iron Fist. But just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw this news article today that said Netflix is $20 billion in debt right now.
Really?
Can that be real? Like,
I have no idea.
It was shared by a guy I follow. He said, if you listen closely right now, you can hear people in the background writing the letters that will explain that your membership is now going to be $25 a month.
But, well, I did see a thing that net neutrality has been in the news a lot, right? And that, a couple of years ago, Netflix was one of the loudest advocates for net neutrality. And then they kind of stopped doing that. I read this a month, maybe 6 weeks ago. Somebody had asked the CEO of Netflix, saying, "Hey, what can you update your stance on net neutrality?" And the guy kind of said, "We're kind of a size now where we don't really care."
Right, because they're big enough that it won't matter.
Yeah,
he
basically said, "We can afford to pay those fees to make sure that our stuff is not throttled."
Right.
Yeah.
But they'll just pass them along to the consumers.
Well, yeah, of course.
Because at this point, if your Netflix is $20 a month, I don't remember how much we pay. If it goes up to 25, are you really going to cancel it?
No, of course not.
I mean, if it went up to 30,
what I will do is I'll cancel the disc thing.
I've already done that.
Yeah.
So,
and we actually should do that.
It's because we only stream stuff. I mean, we got what movie was that? I can't remember. Cracked me up though. There was a movie we got. I wish I remember what it was. Oh, it was Life of Pi. We got the movie Life of Pi. We had that disc for a year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we've been sitting on 10 Cloverfield Lane for about 9 months now. And we can watch that streaming on Netflix and on Amazon right now if we wanted to. It's really stupid.
So literally, there are so many options. You should cancel that. Why not?
We really need to.
I mean...
Yeah, it's dumb. We're idiots.
I mean, so much good stuff is out there on streaming now that I know there's some stuff that's not.
And we just signed up for HBO Now, so we've got all of that.
And those movies are always cycling through.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, speaking of, I watched Suicide Squad. I don't know if
you told me it was
I don't know if we talked about that on the show, but anyway, yeah, that's a bad movie. That is a bad movie.
And they're making a sequel because
they're trying to.
Yeah, they're trying.
I read they couldn't find a director for it. Somebody to step up for it.
Yeah, this is something we've mentioned before that I still don't understand is how is it that you know what, we'll bring this up next time. I'm just curious how bad movies that are obviously bad get made. Like, how does that happen, right? Like, everyone, you see a trailer and you're like, this movie's gonna be bad. It's gonna be bad. And guess what? It's bad. And you think, who said this is going to be a winner, right?
It's a formula that studios and producers and things follow. They say known property, like with a known familiar property, attach a known director to it, and it just you can just punch some numbers into a formula, and you get a guaranteed return,
right?
Right, and then you add in another multiplier based on marketing budget, and then you say, okay, we can expect this much additional return, and then you say, okay, well, what if we get one big name Hollywood star in that? How is that going to affect the numbers? Because some of that stuff is just straight up.
But they're wrong consistently.
Suicide Squad made buckets of money, man.
It's because they didn't have anyone. I mean, other than Will Smith, they didn't have anyone that had to get paid bank.
There were some decent bigger names in there. Who's that? Joel Kinnaman. He's getting to be a bigger face.
Yeah, but he's middling when it comes to cost, right?
Well, if they do that, then they say, okay, well, now let's factor in China, right? How many Asian actors can we get into it, right?
Right.
So, and in Suicide Squad, they added, I don't remember even remember what her name is, but she's a Chinese actress to play some character and who could not more obviously have just pasted her into the script at the last second. She could have been, in fact, I would say if there were 10 characters in that Suicide Squad, right, there were maybe 2 that actually had a meaningful influence on the plot.
Right.
And neither one of them was Will Smith or what's her name?
Margot Robbie.
Yeah, played Harley Quinn. Neither one of them had any direct
hilarious.
Impact on the climactic scene or really any part of that story at all. Neither one of them was a key factor in getting that stuff done.
Wow.
The,
that's good filmmaking right there. That's what that is.
The only guy who had anything important to do, the only character in that movie that actually made a meaningful difference in defeating the bad guy was the Mexican guy, Mexican ex-con guy who can do fire stuff.
Oh,
And he was actually kind of a cool... He was the only character that was like, oh, I want to know more about this guy.
I don't know what his name was, but yeah, because I don't know the Suicide Squad people, but...
I mean, they had the boomerang guy in there?
Right.
They had the freaking boomerang guy in there?
Captain Boomerang, yeah.
Stupid. Why would they do
that?
Did
he actually throw a boomerang?
Yes, he threw a bunch of boomerangs, and nothing happened as a result of it.
I wish I could remember the name of the fire guy.
I feel like there's actually a moment in that movie where he kind of turns to somebody and says, what am I going to do? I throw boomerangs. Like I think I remember that maybe I'm making it up, but I feel like that's a moment in the movie where he said, "I got nothing, guys. I can throw a boomerang. It's the best I got." Anyway, we should wrap it up here.
Yeah. All right. Well,
thanks,
thank you guys for listening.
See ya.
And we'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast.